Hello everyone, this is Jay Nemro, and you're listening to The Life Autistic. I'm just checking to make sure my sound levels are decent. You never know when you're in the sound booth from Hades here. My car, as I'm motoring off to Clovis once again. Will I ever not be motoring off to Clovis at some time in any given week? I don't know. Anyway, so, gracious sakes alive. For those of you who accuse me of not staying on topic, when they say, Jay, you started this podcast with the whole idea that you were going to be autistic in it, and you haven't talked about it in ages. Well, you know what? I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be a better person. And, you know, one thing that Asperger / autistic / ADHD / Zenith type folk are always being accused of is being really self-centered. So I've been trying not to be very self-centered, or at least less so. So, yeah, I haven't been talking about the thing because, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole, this is my life, oh, my life sucks, oh, it sucks to be me, it sucks to be autistic, pity me. I'm not going to do that because I doesn't. I don't mind being me. Now, it'd be nice if being me had a little more purpose to it. But there, well, I'm sure my wife thinks I'm okay, at least with the purpose. I think she doesn't mind the fact that I can, that the things I do, you know, because they bring in the money. I'm not gone too much from home, so makes her feel better, right? I hope. I hope so. But let me tell you, you know, just in case you think, well, Jay sure hasn't been talking about autism very much, and that was the whole purpose for me to listen to the show, was to talk about autism. No, you have other podcasts to talk ad nauseum about autism, okay? Whether you want to call me a sufferer, or a potential culturist, or whatever in the autism movement, which I'm not particularly. Hey, I've got it. That's all it meant. If you want to hear how the world looks to somebody who's an alien to it, well, you've got it right here, okay? And that's what this whole thing was about. I'm not here to talk about autism. You can go talk, you can go listen to the PhDs. You know, banter about autism all you want to, and about whether it's good or bad, or whether, you know, it's pretty universally bad. And, you know, of course, I don't listen to those people. You know, they profit off of the doom and gloom. If it wasn't a horrible thing, they wouldn't get paid much. So, you know, let them do what they want, but it has nothing to do with me. Oh, let me tell you, I've always tried this podcast to avoid religion, politics. I failed miserably, of course, because these are things that are just near and dear to my heart. You know, anybody talks about being a geek, you know, they say, well, they're a computer geek. So, no, I'm not. I don't like playing on computers particularly. How many months has it been since I played a game on a computer? Sometimes I go whole years without doing it, because I'm sorry, it doesn't, that's not my thing. You know, I don't use Microsoft Word very much, because honestly, I don't need to. You know, people go, oh, Jay must type up these huge papers. They go, no, I don't. I don't type them up at all. It's not interesting to me. I don't do it, you know, and it's not part of my job, so I don't. So yeah, people get all these weird stereotypes, you know. Oh yeah, you're on a computer, you don't play games all the time, you can't get them off the computer, you save your life. Now there have been times that I've been like that. If anything else, I've been something of a communications and research geek. You know, now that's true. The fact that your best research is going to happen on the web, and you happen to access that through a computer, that's just that. When the web wasn't around, when you really couldn't find information on computers, I was more of a library geek. I would go and I would read, and I would take time to do stuff in the library. And that was the kind of geek I was. You know, if you want the true heart of the matter, that's what it ended up being. I got into computers to accomplish things with them. First, because I wanted to write, and I did. I wrote, and when it got right down to it, I don't remember, you know. For me, the computer was always a tool to accomplish something else that was important to me. The computer itself wasn't that big of a deal. Of course, the fact that I have the capacity to understand computers kind of muddies that water, you know. And frankly, I'm making money off of my capacity to understand computers, although I don't think that's my best and highest calling. I don't think it is. Anyway, so regardless of all this, I woke up this morning with a whole bunch of things kind of pouring through my head. Mornings are religious time for me, so it's always going to be kind of religiously slanted. I get up, I read my scriptures, I study. I'm getting better at studying. I don't read them so much anymore because I'm trying to understand things. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Today is the day. Today is March 5th. It is my daughter Brenna's 14th birthday. She's my third child, so you know that I have children that are older than Brenna. My oldest daughter, Shayna, she's 17. Matt, he who put me on to the trail of autism because of his autism, he is 16, and Brenna is 14. Anyway, so, and I've got three children younger than Brenna, so, you know. So you guys get a little, you know, just in case you are confused about how I am and the way things are, you know, there it is. I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, so I, what on earth brought me on to being, oh, it's because of the date. I was coming, bringing up the date because I'm going to bring up the fact that there's a few more political primaries yesterday, and the results are in, and I'm always amazed by how quickly the results come in, how fast they count this stuff. Anyway, the results are in, and Hillary Clinton is still in the race with Barack Obama. She didn't just have to just kind of fade away, so she's all excited, even though I read an interesting article in Newsweek, off the Newsweek website, that talks about that even if Hillary won every single freaking primary from now until the convention, she probably would not be able to have enough delegates to beat Obama. She would have to pull the whole stunt with the superdelegates and hope that they would decide to side with her, and the chances are that that wouldn't happen. So Hillary may be celebrating now, but there's really no reason to. She's just trying to let people know that she's still in there. You know, she hasn't been totally destroyed. Now on the Republican side, McCain swept everything, and Huckabee just finally bowed out and said, "Well, you know, what's the point?" So everybody thinks that John McCain stands alone. Of course, Ron Paul is still there, poking and prodding. McCain's doing his best to ignore him, which is probably just fine, because everybody else is doing a good job ignoring Ron Paul, too. The cause of liberty is fringe, I'm sorry to say. That was the most heartbreaking thing to pull out of all this stuff. The fact that the cause of freedom, the cause of liberty, the cause of those things. When we had our last presidential election in 2004, I made the stupid, I find it stupid, I was hornswoggled once again. I listened to the rhetoric of George W. Bush, and he was talking about liberty and freedom. And I liked it, so I voted for him. And that was stupid. That was just rhetoric. It was just so much crap. It didn't mean anything. So, I'm not going to get suckered into that crap again. I'm not going to believe these people unless they have a record of fighting for freedom. Unless they have a record of defending the Constitution and defending personal liberties, I'm not going to vote for them. And so, in our current race, I have leanings toward nobody except for Ron. Go Ron Paul! Is he going to lose? Yeah, he's going to lose, but that's okay. That's just saying that the majority of people don't care about liberty or freedom or the Constitution. They don't care anymore. And that's sad, but you know what? You have to let evil and wickedness reveal itself. It's sad to say that most of it's just blatant ignorance. You know, it isn't because these people are evil, just because they're dumb. You know? And they follow the wrong horse. Thinking right now about my favorite movie of all time, Academy Award winner, 1966. Made a couple of years before I was born. I was born in 67. I would imagine they made the movie in 65. It's from a play that's older than that, of course. A Man for All Seasons, Paul Scofield as Sir Thomas More. And of course I love the film. Never got to see the play. They don't do the play much anymore for all I know. Because of the marvelous honor of the man and the fight that the man went through. Personal battle. Not doing things because it was politically prudent. That wasn't his way. Or at least that wasn't the way that it was portrayed in the story. For all I know, the man himself was quite the politician. You know, it's always hard to know in these depictions whether something's, you know, really honest or whether we're dolling it up, you know. Our heroes tend to be more manufactured than honest. I tend to hang out on the Libertarian Fringe, and so I get to hear lots of things. You know, the great heroes of our republic are often attacked, you know, to the chagrin of everybody who wants to say that we have our own national gods, or national icons. One of the first ones always comes up. They were doing a big survey about who was the greatest president, and of course, you know, the current and the most current presidents always do pretty well on there. Bill Clinton did the best. I think he's number 5. George W. Bush, our current president, is number 10. The highest one, always, or at least for the longest time since they've been doing this little contest, little survey, little poll, was, of course, Abraham Lincoln. And I've read a little bit. Now, I can't, you know, I'm not in a position to verify much of this. But there are some historians that really take Lincoln to task and say that he was a real anti-Constitution person. He suspended habeas corpus. He did his best to really punish his enemies. And so, given all that, it's hard to pin on him the term, you know, one of the greatest Americans. You know, one of our greatest American statesmen. He certainly defended the state. He certainly defended, well, his power base, let's say, for instance. He certainly was the first face in the Republican Party. And I guess if you want an icon for the Republican Party, you've got it, Abraham Lincoln, warts and all. And seems like they're kind of running out of the same playbook, you know. Says, we'll start wars, we'll instigate wars, we will attack, we will do whatever is required to keep us in power. Abraham Lincoln did a pretty good job of it. You know, oh, and he faced a wonderful fate of being killed in office, murdered in office. A politically prudent man. People always say, oh, but he freed the slaves. Wasn't he wonderful? Nobody else would have done it. And you go, no, he did it for political points. He didn't free the slaves in the North. And there still were slaves in the North, although it was a dying practice up there. It was deemed to be a dying practice down South because it was getting to be cheaper to get more productive people. To actually hire and pay people rather than try to buy and sell them. Because I'm sorry, it was hard to get a slave to do something. He had no incentive. If you remember the downfall of many communist countries, it was because there was no incentive to do well. There was no incentive to do anything. And so people just kind of lazily went about what they were supposed to, you know, it was mostly where you're supposed to be here, you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it's like, well, that's all sweet and nice, so what? You know? That's why slavery was going away. People wouldn't do it. I mean, you could beat them all you wanted. You could be a tyrant all you wanted to. But it still wasn't going to give the same kind of reaction as if you pay them. Now, you don't have to pay them much. You know, you can pay them a percentage of what, you know, of the money that their labor cause, and that will cause them to want to do more labor so that they might have more money. Of course, it makes the landowner a lot richer, because he usually takes 80 and gives you 20, or even less, you know. That ratio is always changing. It tends to be less and less, you know. You work twice as hard, and he doesn't give you a pay increase, you know. Of course, he has to give you a couple of bones, or else he'll jump ship someplace that behaves better. But when everybody starts playing that game, and everybody tends to, you know, corporate mindset is pretty set, and it pretty much operates the same everywhere. They do that on purpose, because they know if somebody breaks away from that kind of thing, the shit starts sinking. Of course, you know, you can have a little bit of that. There's several employee-owned companies, and they are much more equitable, and they say, you know, we're going to do the division of labor here, and we're going to say how much what you do contributes to the bottom line, to our bottom line profit or loss, and how that's going to affect you. Because when you're a part owner, you get paid a percentage of the take. That's just the way it is with a stockholder. So it kind of works. It's kind of a nice thing. Now, corporatism in of itself is a little bit weird, because it ends up being that your company is known by its employees, particularly. It's owned by other people, investors that don't have anything really to do with the management of the company, except to choose who the top people are going to be in your company. You know, your banner holders, those kind of folks. Anyway, so how did I get to all this? What brought me to all this? I was talking about Thomas More. I love Thomas More, just because he's a man of integrity, which is so lacking in our world. We are so much the pragmatist. We are so much the, hey, you have to do what works. And the means justify the end. Or the end justifies the means, you know. We want to win. It doesn't matter what kind of dirty tricks we pull. You know, we'll do whatever it takes to win. You know, sometimes I have to look like a jerk or an idiot or a mean person. But that's okay, because I'm actually good, and I'll actually show my goodness later on after the battle's won and I've won. You know, and that's kind of how politics is. Politics is all about drawing a beautiful picture and making up a creative story. And it really doesn't, you know, it really doesn't, it doesn't speak to anything. It's mostly lies. That's what pulled me into voting for George Bush. I got sucked in by his lie. That he cared any at all about freedom. That he cared any at all about liberty. Everything he's done while in office has been destructive to liberty. Now, whether that was his intent, I don't think his intent is, well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to destroy some liberty today. I think it goes toward, we need to have a little bit more control over this. It's more of a fight between the presidency and the Congress. The Congress is quickly becoming loss of power, and the president is gaining more and more. We're almost to the point in Rome where it went from being a republic to being an empire. We really are getting to that point. You know, people all say, oh no, we can never do that, because we elect our emperor every 4 years, and we don't let the same person be the emperor. And I'm sorry, that's somewhat, you know, I mean, I guess that's got its good points to it, but, you know, gee, you know, do I get to decide who's the emperor? No. the majority of people get to decide who the emperor is. Well, sort of, but the majority of people are dunderheads that do what they're told. So, the people who are doing the telling are in charge. And, you know, guy, what I wouldn't give to live in a world full of Thomas Mores. I guess someday, technically, I will. And so, when people get weird about liberty and say, we've got to fight for it now or else we'll lose it completely, you go, no, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. I said, evil will be destroyed. Says, the big question is a personal one. Are you evil? In the past, I've talked about, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. In fact, I've talked about something I would love to turn into a bumper sticker or a shirt. If I got pulled over by police and they were being a little rambunctious and not really thinking about my rights, this is a simple statement that probably most of them wouldn't understand or care about, but which is, I believe, is true, which is God will punish the oppressors. If you oppress other people, God will punish you. And that's mostly what all these things are for. When you lie to somebody, you lie with the intent to snooker them, get one up on them, ultimately to oppress them, you know, to put yourself into a superior position to them. All lying ultimately does that. I wish that it was a more wonderful world. I wish all that. And you know what? Someday it will be. Christ will come. Evil will destroy itself. Well, evil will destroy itself. Christ will come. And we will have a better world. We will have a more just, a more equitable, a more kinder, a world with more liberty. It will come. The question is, are you going to be here to enjoy it? I intend to. If I'm still alive, I intend to be one of those people that are there enjoying the fact that it's been done. And so it really becomes that, you know, you can say, oh, I'm fighting for liberty, I'm fighting for liberty, fight, 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 fight. And you go, well, I'm not going to sit there and take the punches. It says, but I will vote for liberty. I will vote for liberty every chance I get. You know, I'm going to vote for Ron Paul. Even though I'm not much of a Republican. And I'm not. I'm much more of a libertarian. But I will vote for Ron Paul. You know? Now, I don't agree with Ron Paul. Well, I think he's exercising a bit of prudence by trying to appear more palatable by saying, let's bring in the troops and let's put them on the, you know, let's put them on the borders to keep out those nasty illegal aliens. And they're going, I don't think the illegal aliens are nasty. I don't have a problem with them coming across the border, which is actually a very libertarian platform, is to say, you know what, who cares? We need injections all the time of new people who come here for the sake of freedom and a better life, because the Americans sitting here are lazy, fat, complacent, and would just as soon have a socialist country here. So we need to have these new people coming in. That's the lifeblood of liberty. Is those who say, I'm fleeing oppression, I'm going to go to the United States. It would be a horrible day when they decided they weren't going to come to the United States anymore because the United States is just as bad as where they're from. And I think that day will come. Sad, sad, sad state of affairs when that day comes. But that's okay, because not too long after that, everything comes to an end. And evil destroys evil. Isn't it beautiful? I love it. Anyway, just because, you know, I'm sorry. I've paid a price. Everybody in this world has paid a price for having evil pretty much being in charge. So I won't weep to see it go. It's sad that people have to choose that course, but once they choose it, I'm not going to weep for them when they get justice. When they get justice. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. I'm gonna do some quasi indefatigable Zenlith, I think, today. So you can jump over to the Gopher Space and pick up that recording. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 597. Just stuff. Stuff lurped up from the autistic mind. Golly. Where's my pointer? There we go. Have a great day.